Am I on? You guys hear me? Okay, good afternoon. How's everybody doing? Good? You having a great conference? Yes, I noticed there's some bottles of water up here if you guys did not get water with your lunch. So there's four of you that did not, so they're up here. You can come and grab them. Okay, so the majority of you were here yesterday and you heard my daughter Hannah speak, yes? All right, yeah, the majority of you heard her speak. Well, I'm just going to do a quick little recap and kind of go into some more detail of what she went over. And then at 2 o'clock today, which is right after this session, so let's see, this goes from 12:30 to 1:30, then at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be in here for an hour and a half going through my whole complete presentation and my whole story as well. So as Hannah told you yesterday, our company is called The Money Multiplier. We're located in Port Orange, Florida, about an hour east of Orlando, right next to Daytona Beach. And the thing that we do is we help you to teach you to build, keep, and create wealth through your own debts and expenses that you already have. So, and as the thing that you saw yesterday, and I'll kind of touch into it a little bit more today, is the one example that you saw with Hannah is the thing that she taught you was how to get all the money back on all the cars you're going to buy, drive, and own for the rest of your life, right? So not only do you get the car, but you get the money back as well. You get the car and the money, yeah? So, and if you can do that with a car, guess what else you can do it with? You can do it with anything. You can do it with a boat, a bicycle, a trip, a vacation. How about your taxes? That's right. You can pay your taxes, recycle, recapture, get all the money back. You can do it with a house. So like I'm an airplane pilot. Actually, I live in an aviation community. I have two airplanes, so I do the same thing with airplanes. It's just a larger number. That's all it is. It works the exact same way. Now, a couple things, if you guys have not in the past before this weekend, if you haven't heard us before, and I've been coming here now for, I don't know, 5 to 7 years and speaking at this event, and a lot of times I'll come to this event and there'll be people in the audience that'll say, hey, can you come and speak at my event? So like that happened to Hannah a couple times yesterday where a couple people came up to her and asked her to come and speak, you know, at their event, which is like a smaller version of this RIA, which that's what we've been doing for, let's see, I've been doing it for 12 years now. I've been speaking in between 55 and 70 live events a year all around the country. And if you can't attend a live event or you haven't attended a live event before, or even if you just want more, just as far as topics and more as far as advanced information, the thing you can do is go to our website, which is themoneymultiplier.com. We have a podcast called The Money Multiplier, which you'll see Hannah on there. She's got, I think, 75 episodes out there. She records one every single week. I actually wrote a book here. It's called Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery. So any of you that want a copy of this book, all you do is just send me an email, okay, to brent@themoneymultiplier.com, and I will send you the e-version of this book, Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery. Now, I wrote this book with Chris Noggle. Have you guys ever heard of Chris Noggle? Some of you maybe. If not, go to chrisnoggle.com. Follow everything that Chris does. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. ChrisNoggle.com. Also, if I'll give you a couple other people to follow too. There's a guy out in Arizona. His last name is Burr. His first name Devin. It's Devin Burr. He's on all social media: TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. He goes by Mr. Burr. So it's MR_BRRRR. Now, so Devin, the thing he does is he's an investor in real estate, and he shows you how you use this banking concept to buy all of your real estate. And he's a real estate investor, and he's going to continue to use that money over and over and over again. See, that's the powerful thing about this concept, is that you're using the money over and over again. There's a couple other guys named Jonah and Jeremiah Dew, and they're in Greenville, South Carolina. They're called the Banking Bros. The Banking Bros, B-R-O-S, the banking bros. They're two black guys, and they're not called the banking bros because they're bros. They're also brothers as well, Jonah and Jeremiah. So go follow them as well, thebankingbros.com. And then who in here has heard of Pace Morby? Anybody know Pace Morby? So I speak on all of Pace Morby's platforms. Pace is my client. So Pace will tell you how he uses this concept just in his life too. Did you just turn me down or turn me on or turn me up? Hopefully it was turn me on, but did you turn me up or down? Lowered my volume. That's, my wife's been trying to do that for 27 years. You're probably not going to do it in 30 seconds. All right. So just to give you a recap. So who am I? I'm Brent Kessler. I'm Hannah's dad. I actually, okay, on this concept, the very first time I heard about this, I was in a chiropractic conference, because yes, I'm a chiropractor. I no longer practice chiropractic anymore. I had 5 clinics in the Kansas City area. I sold my last one in 2017. I have not practiced in a clinic since 2008. I've been teaching this concept since 2012. Well, back in 2006, when I very first heard about this concept called the infinite banking concept, I thought it was too good to be true, right? You guys have probably seen stuff like that where you hear something, it's too good to be true. Well, that was me. I heard about it. I didn't believe it. I go back to another conference 2 years later, and about 10 or 12 of my colleagues that were at the previous conference, back in 06. Anyway, the only difference between them is they acted up on the information and I didn't. And they were going on and on and on just how they were paying off debt. They were building and keeping and creating wealth through their own debts and expenses that they already had. And they never had to change their cash flow. They never had to work any harder. They didn't have to take any additional risk or lose control of their money. All they did was added one step in their financial life. So I thought to myself, hey, there's no way 10 or 12 of my colleagues are lying to me, possibly one or two, right? So I came home in February of 2008, and I told my wife, I said, honey, we have to start implementing this concept in our life. And it was at that time I was $984,711 in debt. That's what I owed to the third-party creditors. I was able to put this process and this concept into place, and I was able to pay that debt off in 39 months. 3 years and 3 months, all by adding one step in my financial life. Now, as Hannah told you yesterday, this concept is nothing that I invented or created. The guy that wrote this book right here, his name is R. Nelson Nash. He wrote this book, Becoming Your Own Banker. This book completely changed my financial life. This is a book you want to add to your wealth-building library. Now, R. Nelson Nash passed away about 4.5 years ago in March of 2019 at age 87 years old. This guy changed my life. You want to have this book in your wealth-building library. Now, I'm not here to try to sell you a book. I just want you to know where the information came from. Now, so normally if I go to a conference like this, I only bring a couple books, right? Well, I think I bought like 12 of them this time. So if you want this book, it's 20 bucks, okay? If you want it, it's 20 bucks. I got about 10 or 12 of them. If not, go order it online. You can go to our website, Amazon, or whatever. It just costs you just a bit more because you got postage and shipping and all of that. Okay, so I bought some extra this time. Not a lot, about 10 or 12. And there's also 2 hours of CDs you can get with the book. I know, CDs, right? Who has a CD player, right? All right, well, anyway, so maybe you can go to a pawn shop and buy a CD player to listen to the CDs. I don't know. But I like to listen to stuff audio, right? I like to listen to books audio. I'm more of an audio learner than a visual learner. Okay, so, and again, I told you the book I wrote, Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery with Chris, I'll email that to you. Just send me an email, brent@themoneymultiplier.com. And what, here we go. It went blank. So do we have sound? No sound. That's okay. I don't need sound, but I'm going blank here. I don't know why we're going blank. So the bulb's going out. I don't know why the bulb's going out. Do you guys know back there in the back? It's back on now. Okay, so again, so the thing that Hannah told you yesterday is the vehicle that we're going to use to build, keep, and create wealth. Remember she told you what the machine was that we're going to use, and it probably surprised a lot of you when she told you what that was, okay? And that machine was, and I'm kind of skipping through some of this because you saw some of this yesterday, the machine is a whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. And probably when she told you that, that surprised a lot of you because you're thinking, what? A whole life policy? Why on earth would I ever want to use a whole life policy to build, keep, and create wealth, right? Because the thing you guys think of is when you think of life insurance, you think of death benefit. But you got to remember, this is not any type of life insurance policy. It's not the life insurance policy that you can go buy from your brother-in-law that sells life insurance. We all have a brother-in-law that sells life insurance, don't we? Yeah, we do. It's not that type of policy. This is a specifically designed, specially engineered whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends, all right, that has high immediate cash value. When I say high immediate cash value, my definition of immediately is within 30 days. So that means when you put money into this policy, you have a cash value that's available immediately within 30 days, all right? So it is not a term policy. It's not a UL. It's not an IUL. It's not a variable. It's not a universal. It is a specifically designed, specially engineered whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. Now, why do we want to use a whole life insurance policy to build wealth? There's a lot of different reasons, right? Some people say, well, the cash flow, the guarantee, the tax advantages, all of those are great answers. But the reason we're doing this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is because this is the number one thing that conventional banks do. This is what the rich and the wealthy do in their financial life. As a matter of fact, conventional banks are the number one purchasers of whole life insurance in the world. They are the number one purchasers. As a matter of fact, since 2014, conventional banks have quadrupled the amount of whole life insurance they have purchased. Now, why are they buying so much life insurance? Is it because they're stupid or they know something the rest of us don't know? They know something the rest of us don't know. So all we're going to do is we're going to mimic and imitate exactly what the wealthy are doing. So this concept is not brand new. It's not on trial. It's not being tested. It's been around for over 200 years. I want you to think about that. Over 200 years. Our tax code has only been around 110 years since 1913, right? This was way before the tax code. This is what the rich did. This is what they do now, okay? Like if you research the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Morgans, the Stanleys, the Barclays, go look and see how Walt Disney built Disneyland. Go see how Ray Kroc funded McDonald's. Go see how Pampered Chef got started before Warren Buffett bought Pampered Chef. This is the vehicle that they used. This is what Robert Kiyosaki talks about in his book called Second Chance. He explains everything that we teach you in that book, Second Chance. The only problem is he makes it too hard and difficult to follow. Right? So when you guys read it, you didn't understand what in the hell it meant. This is what Tony Robbins teaches in his book called Money, Master the Game. Chapter 5.4 of that Tony Robbins book, this is exactly the concept he teaches. But again, they make it too difficult and complicated to understand. So all we're going to do is mimic and imitate what the wealthy do, what the rich do, right? All we're doing in our financial life is this. All we're doing is adding one simple step. That's it. We're adding one step. Because see, here's what you guys do with money right now. I don't even know you, but I know what you do with money. Every time you get money that comes in, it can be active income, passive income, investment income. It can be a check in the mail from grandma on your birthday. You take that money, you put it into somebody else's bank, and then from the bank account, the thing you do is you write checks out against the things that you're buying in life anyway. You're buying your cars, your houses, your food, your travel, your entertainment, You're paying taxes, you're giving to charity, you pay for Bobby's soccer practice, Susie's piano lessons. So what you do is you give that money to other people. And whenever you give that money to other people, that money is gone. It has left your family forever. It is gone. So when we run the money through this whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends first, now what you're doing is you're putting money into the policy, and from the policy, you're now going to use that money to buy everything in life that you're buying, to buy your products, your services, whatever that you're doing. Anything that you do with money, anything you do with money, you're simply adding one step. And when you do that, that money is now staying in a closed system. There's no money being leaked out to other people. It stays internally in your family. I speak at a lot of real estate conferences around the country. I was in Denver yesterday speaking. Last Saturday, I was in San Francisco. The Thursday before that, I was in Las Vegas. Next Saturday, I'll be in Palm Beach, Florida. Right? So I travel all around the country, and I speak on this concept. I also invest in real estate as well. I have long-term rentals, and I have short-term rentals. I have Airbnbs, I have VRBOs, but I buy all that real estate through my policy, right? I put the dollars in the policy first, and then I use the money to go buy it, because now I'm not only earning the dollars on the real estate, but I'm also earning the money that's still in the policy. Because anytime I use the money from the policy, I'm not using my money. I'm simply putting my policy up for collateral. I'm taking a loan from the general fund of the insurance company. So my money is all in the policy growing. So the thing I like to do even more than buying real estate, especially now that I'm older, I don't like buying real estate as much. I like to lend money. Why do I like to lend money? Because I don't want to manage properties. And I know what you're thinking. I have a property manager that lends properties, and that's great that you do. Well, the property managers are even a pain in the ass, are they not? I have an older son and his wife are property managers of my properties on Captiva Island, Florida, which is near Sanibel. They are my property managers of my properties. They're my children, and they're a pain to work with. It's hard. Right? So now what I like to do is I like to lend money. So, and again, I'm going to be totally transparent with you, because I'm transparent with you when I talk about money and numbers and what I do. As of the end of September, I have $8.9 million loaned out to other people in loans. I have 24 loans out that total $8.9 million. All but two of those loans are interest only. It means I get interest every month. How much do I get? As of the end of September, $124,630 every month comes in as payments on those loans. Every loan that I've lent out in the last 18 months is between 14 and 16%. I know you think that's a lot, right? People out there will borrow your money at 14 and 16% all day long. Yes, I have some older loans out there that are at 10, 11, and 12, but they're older loans. In the last 18 months, it's all 14 to 16%. And people are standing in line all day long to borrow money at those rates and put me in first position. Yes, I'm always in first position on any loan that I make, because if I'm not first, I'm last. I don't like second. I've done second positions loans in the past. Those are what I call my non-performing loans. I have $602,000 out in non-performing loans. Will I ever get that? Will I ever get the money? I hope. But I'm not in first position, so I got to fight somebody else. So I will never loan again, not even to my children, unless I'm in first position. So the whole point of this is, and the reason I'm sharing this with you, I'm going to give you an example of a loan I did a couple months ago. There was a guy in Buffalo, New York. He wanted to buy a house. The house was $1.5 million. It appraised at $1.7 million. He needed $1 million. He had $500,000 to bring to the table. And I told him, his name is Joe, and Joe tells me, he says, tell this story as many times as you want. And Joe comes, and I says, Joe, listen, man, if you borrow that $1 million, I'm charging you 16% interest. I'll do it interest only for 3 years, but I'm charging you interest only. He says, it's okay, I gotta have this house. I gotta have it, and I gotta close quickly. Because see, that's why people want your money too, is because the thing you do is you'll close quickly. And the reason people will go to a private lender and not go to the bank for two reasons. Number one, the thing is if you go to a bank, they take a while, right? Okay, just in order to get the deal done. And then number two, they have to go through the proctology exam of getting approved for the policy, right? Or I'm sorry, getting approved for the loan. Yeah? And anyway, they want their money quick. And a lot of people can't borrow money from a bank because they're already overextended because they have the debt to income ratio. So I loan this $1 million to Joe, 16% interest. So he pays me $13,333 a month on that $1 million. Every month, he pays me interest only. But here's what I did. I put my money into the policy first, okay? So I took the money from the policy. So I have the policy right here. I know that says $25,000, but let's make believe that's $1 million. So I go to the policy. I take a loan from the general fund of the insurance company. All right. How much interest do I pay to borrow from the insurance company? I'm paying 5%. I'm paying like no more than 6, but I'm paying like 5.2 or whatever. Let's just call it 5 for, or actually let's just call it 6 for easy math. Okay. So I borrow the money from the general fund of the insurance company. So yes, I'm paying $60,000 a year on borrowing that money from the general fund of the insurance company. But my $1 million is still in the policy, growing and earning uninterrupted compound interest plus dividends. The money never left my policy. So I'm not only earning just the interest that I'm getting paid from Joe, but I'm also earning the interest and the dividends from the guaranteed growth inside of my policy. So if I'm paying back, okay, and again, and probably I'm sure Hannah told you this yesterday, is when you take a loan from your policy, you never have to pay it back. You never have to pay back your policy loan on your life insurance policy. Why? Because a loan is a prepayment of the death benefit. You are borrowing against your death benefit. So essentially what you're doing is you're using a portion of your death benefit while you're living instead of waiting till you die and then you pass it to your ungrateful children. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Right? So no, the thing is, believe me, my kids are going to get a ton of money when both me and my wife graduate, right? They're going to get millions and millions of dollars. As a matter of fact, if we both died today, they'd get $32 million in death benefit, right? So if I have loans out against it, it's okay because my death benefit pays off the policy loans and the rest of the money goes to the beneficiaries tax-free. Yeah, guys. Okay, here, Anna, stand up. So my daughter's single. Yeah. But if you want to date her, I need a copy of your financial statement first. All right? So the thing I'm doing is I'm earning money both ways, right? I'm earning money inside of the policy, and I'm earning the interest on the loan that I'm getting, right? Uninterrupted compound interest. There's nothing on this planet that does this. This is the only vehicle on this planet that has these features and benefits that allows you to do it. I don't know of anything else that you can do this with and keep total control of your money. That's what it's all about, you being in control of your money. Because see, here's what we want to do. The thing we want to do is we want to pay tax on our money one time only, at the lowest rate possible, and get that money into a tax-free environment and get the government completely out of our hair. So all I'm doing, just to recap a little bit, all I'm doing is I'm adding one step in my life, okay? If all of you remember the car example that Hannah showed you yesterday, right? The car example where you not only get the car, but you get the money back. That's all we're doing, is just putting money in the policy from the policy we're borrowing from the general fund. And now we have the car and the money. You have the car and the money. You have the house and the money, the airplane and the money, the boat and the money. You pay for the taxes and have the money. You give to charity and get all your money back. That's right. You donate to charity and get your money back. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Brent, that ain't right, man. God does not want me to get my charitable giving back that I give him. Well, if God didn't want you to get your charitable giving back, he would not have me standing in front of this room and you sitting in those chairs learning how to do this. Do you know any poor people adding wings to any churches? Neither do I. I'm telling you guys, it is a game-changing deal when you start recycling and recapturing money. Okay, let's go to what Hannah has up here on the screen. Can I pivot into this? So, and I know I have the mic. Is there a mic up here you can use too? Okay, so let's see, if not. Okay, and again, a lot of you may not be able to read this. Yeah, you can say it. Okay, so a lot of people say, well, tell me what is the difference between a bank and an insurance company? Well, let's talk about that first. The bank and the insurance company, okay? The thing you can do is you can take an executive of a bank and an executive of an insurance company, and you couldn't even tell them apart, right, if they were walking down the street. You have no idea if they're an executive of a bank or an executive of an insurance company. The only difference between a bank and an insurance company is the name on the door. That's it. They're both depositories. They're both places for you to store your wealth. Well, in a conventional bank, if you keep your money in a conventional bank, which, yes, I get it. We all have checking accounts because we have to have checking accounts in order to be able to write checks and do online banking. I keep about 2 months worth of my overhead for my lifestyle in my conventional bank. No more. If I'm getting more than that in a conventional bank, I'm going to get that money out and I'm going to get it into my own bank, which is inside of my policy. A conventional bank, so who's making all of the profits on your money that you leave there?
The bank.
The stockholders, the shareholders of the bank, right? They make the profits and the dividends on the money that you leave there. I'll explain this more in my 2 o'clock session today. So, in a whole life policy, in a mutual company that pays dividends, mutual company, the key word mutual, the key word mutual is there are no stockholders, there are no shareholders. You own the policy contract. It is a mutual company. You own the contract, not the company. You own the policy contract. So you have first right to your money. Anytime you go knocking on the door at the insurance company and you say, hey, Mr. Insurance Company, I want some of my money, no matter where they have it out, no matter if they have it lent out, and yes, insurance companies will have money out there in investments. Where do they keep their money? Insurance companies, about 80% of it goes into investment-grade bonds, good, safe bonds. About 7% of it goes to home and commercial mortgages. A lot of big housing developments, commercial developments, they are financed with blocks of money from insurance company. About another 7%, it goes to their policy holders in the form of policy loans, right? That's really what we do, is we're taking policy loans. And another 7% is in a very low interest-bearing account, almost equivalent to cash, because when death occurs, that death benefit has to be paid out in a timely manner. But in that mutual company, you are the owner of the contract. So you are getting all of the profits and the dividends instead of the shareholders of the bank. That's it. So you're keeping your money in your own banking system, your own bank, i.e. the policy, which you have first right to that money. And the conventional bankers are not building their wealth. Now, also remember, in a conventional bank, a bank can loan out $8, $10, or $12 for every dollar that you have on hand. Did you know that? They can loan out $8, $10, $12 for every dollar that you have on hand. If everybody in the world made a run to the bank today to get all their money out that you have sitting in the bank, you would probably get about 20 cents of every dollar out because they physically do not have the money. The money is just not there. They don't have the money to give you. All that FDIC crap that you hear about, that would go totally out the window. They just don't physically have the money. An insurance company can never do that. Oh, by the way, did I mention that no insurance company, a mutual insurance company, Nobody has ever lost money in a whole life policy in a mutual company that pays dividends. I don't care what state you live in, it's never, ever happened. Go look it up, and if you can show me, bring it to me and show me what it is. But it's never, ever happened because an insurance company cannot over-leverage. They can't over-lend because they go by something what we call Austrian economics. If you want to learn more about Austrian economics, go to Auburn, Alabama, and there's this thing called the Mises Institute, M-I-S-E-S. His name was Ludwig von Mises. Go learn about Austrian economics through the Mises Institute. But the insurance company uses Austrian economics where $1 has to protect $1, right? That dollar has to be protected. And also the insurance companies are not federally regulated, they're state regulated, which is a big difference too, right? Just whenever you don't get your federal government involved, that could be make some drastic changes. There's people in the room that just totally love the government control, the federal government control, then you probably do not want to come back for the 2 p.m. session, all right? This is all about you being in total control of your wealth and your money and getting the government completely out of your hair and building your money in a tax-free environment. So let's just talk about the difference between banks and an insurance policy. And actually this chart, I'm stealing it from Devin Burr, which is a client of ours. He's on our team as well. Devin Burr, he's the real estate investor. Remember I said go follow Devin Burr on TikTok, Mr. Burr. He has over 1 million followers. He has tons of videos of how he uses his money to buy and fund all his real estate investments that he does out in Arizona. So he did this chart on one of his TikTok or Instagram videos, and I thought it was pretty cool, so we said, Devin, we're going to use it. All right, so on the left, a bank. Well, how much does a bank pay you for your, like, just to keep money in there? And it says 0.06 to 1%. I don't know, maybe it's a little more now. Maybe they pay you a couple percent, but anyway, it's not very much, right? They don't pay you a lot. Like every month you get those statements in on your savings account or quarterly or however they come, and how much did you make on all the money in your savings account, like $1.50 or whatever, okay? Inside of your whole life policy, you're making more than 4% with dividends. Now, dividends are never guaranteed with an insurance company. But, however, every insurance company we write business with has been paying dividends for over 123 consecutive years without fail. Now think about 123 years. That was 1900. What kind of financial disasters and catastrophes have we went through since 1900? We went through a lot of recessions. We went through the Great Depression. Even during all of those times, the insurance company still paid a dividend. But even if they don't pay a dividend, you still have a guaranteed growth rate inside of your policy. Don't take my word for it. It is in your policy contract. So before you ever accept, sign, and pay for your policy, you will see exactly what your numbers are in your policy. And if the numbers don't look good, if it doesn't have this guaranteed growth, then do not accept the policy. You see that all ahead of time before you even accept it. So the growth rate is more than 4% with the dividends. Now, whenever you earn interest with your bank account, is that taxable or tax-free at the bank account? Taxable, right? Because they give you a 1099 on the interest that you earned on the CD that you have there. Oh, by the way, the thing is, how come you guys just like put money in a CD? You put money in a CD because you want them to pay you interest and you'll get more later. But do you really have any control of that CD? No. You lock that money up for a long time or however long you're locking it up for. And if you want to get it out, you're going to pay a penalty, are you not? But anytime you get interest paid from a bank account, they send you a 1099 form, right? I've had bank accounts before where I've had a savings account and they send me like a 1099 form for like $1.20. Isn't that crazy? You get a 1099 for like $1.20 from a bank and you turn that in and stuff. But they do. It's taxable. Inside of the policy, it's tax-free growth. All that growth growing inside of your policy is growing tax-free. And the longer the policy goes, the better it gets, the more efficient it gets. Every day is better than the day before. Today's better than yesterday. Tomorrow's better than today. Again, don't take my word for it. It is in your policy contract. I own 27 of these policies right now, about to be 28 this month because I got a new policy approved on my wife just recently, and we're starting a new policy on her. I buy at least one policy every 1 to 2 years. My oldest policy I started in February of 2008. Every dollar that I put into that policy, every dollar I put into that policy, that oldest policy that I have, it grew this year by $2.54. So if I put in a dollar, it grew $2.54. If I put in $100, it was $254. If it was $1,000, it was $2,540, right? Because they get better with time. I own 27 of these policies. I put about $750,000 a year in my own policy premium. So Hannah, how many policies do you have?
Six.
Six. She has six policies, and she's 23 years old, right?
24.
So, 24, okay. So, and the thing that Hannah does is she buys all of her stuff with her policies, right? A couple things she bought about 3 or 4 years ago. She bought her house in Daytona Beach, the one on Bob White Court, right? You paid $130,000, then you did a kitchen remodel. Then she goes out and she buys this van because she likes to go camping. She likes to go to these festivals where they play music and dress crazy, right? That's her thing, her and her cats, right? Remember, guys, I said she's single, okay? So, So Hannah bought this van. It was a Dodge ProMaster Sprinter van, right? It looks like an Amazon van. So then after she bought the van, So Hannah took it to Nashville, and a guy customized his van. I mean, it's got everything in it. It's got a toilet, it's got a sink, it's got a shower, it's even got a cat litter box inside of the van, right? It's got everything. So she's got about $134,000 into that van. How did she buy it? She bought it with a policy. So she's recycling, recapturing, getting all the money back. Now, a few months ago, she ordered one of those new Ford Bronco Heritage Limited Editions where they're only making like 8,000 of them in the country. So that's on order. That's coming in. How did she buy it? She bought it with her policy. The house that she moved into a few years ago, she's tired of that. So now she's moving into the penthouse condo on Daytona Beach Shores, Florida. So here's a piece of advice, parents. Don't ever take your kids to a condo and show them the penthouse one first, because if you do, you can never go down to the lower level. So just know that. My wife and I learned that the hard way. So on the 28th of November, she's closing on her penthouse condo, $954,000. You can see the intercoastal and the ocean from the condo where she's at. But the thing is that she's going to get all the money back because she's using her policies to buy the condo. So anything that you do, anything that you buy, small, it could be a pack of gum, a Tic Tacs, whatever, a tank of gas, food, travel, entertainment, you want to recycle and recapture that money. You want to keep that money in the family. Okay, both of the policies, okay, the bank and the whole life policy, and the insurance company, they're both liquid. They're both liquid, so they share that commonality. With the bank, is there a death benefit just with your money sitting at the bank or in your CD or in your 401k, your IRA qualified plan? Do you have a death benefit? No, you don't have a death benefit. Now, again, I want to ask this question. Most of you guys have car insurance, you have house insurance, you have fire insurance, you may have renter's insurance. I mean, there's some people that even have insurance on their pets. Did you know that? I had a neighbor of mine. He stopped over one day to look at this new airplane that I bought a couple years ago, and he had his dog with him, and his dog, and he stopped at the airplane, and he got off of the golf cart, and he was so excited to see the airplane that he didn't turn off the golf cart. Everybody got off, and it just so happened that the golf cart was pointing in the direction just to my neighbor's door, his big hangar door, right? Because again, I said I lived in an airplane community and we all have hangars. So his golf cart was pointing towards that hangar door. The dog jumped back on the golf cart, hit the gas, and went and slammed into the hangar's door. It screwed up the golf cart. The dog was okay, but it screwed up the golf cart and the guy's hangar door. And he had golf cart insurance. I didn't even know you could buy golf cart insurance, but he had specific golf cart insurance. But how about life insurance? A lot of people don't even have life insurance. The one insurance that you are guaranteed to use, you're guaranteed to use life insurance, because it's not an if you die, pass, graduate, whatever word you want to use. It's a when you die, pass, or graduate, because we all have an expiration date, do we not? We all have an expiration date, yes? We just don't know when that is. Okay, so there's no death benefit at your bank, but there's a death benefit with the policy. Okay, the dollars at your bank account, is it protected? Is it protected? Like I said, yeah, you guys can go FDIC and think that it is, but try that out and see how it works if we really get into a crisis. Inside of your policy, that money is protected against lawsuits and judgments. Remember O.J. Simpson? He was found not guilty of killing his wife and the Goldman kid, but he was found guilty in the civil trial, and he owed the Goldman family all that money. Did they ever get the money? No. Where was his money? It was protected. Where was it at? Inside of his life policies. Remember Kenley with Enron? Same way. They never got the money. So lawsuits, judgments, and again, like Hannah put there, no one has ever lost money in whole life insurance, so one is stable and one is unstable. So just to give you a little bit of a comparison. Let's go to an example now of a policy. Okay, we're good on time. 1:11. We got to the bottom of the hour. And actually, we got a little bit longer than that if we need it for question and answers, because we're in this room next from 2 to 3:30. Okay, so I just want to show you this example. Now, Chris Noggle on my team, and remember, he wrote this book called Mapping Out the Millionaire Mystery with me. Him and I wrote this book, and if you're not following Chris Noggle, follow him. He's very active in the real estate world. Chris lives up in Buffalo, New York, and Chris had a show on TV. It was on HGTV called, the show was called Risky Builders. So a couple people that you want to follow for sure, you want to follow Chris Noggle, and you want to follow, I said Burr, Devin Burr, and you want to follow Pace Morby. Go follow Pace Morby, watch what Pace Morby is doing, and watch his community. And then today at 4 o'clock, I speak from 2 to 3:30 today. At 4 o'clock, you're going to hear Isabel speak, and I think she's in Sequoia 3. She's at 4 o'clock on your schedule. Her name is Isabel. Her company is R-A-L. R stands for, what's R stand for? Does it stand for R stands for, yes, Residential Assisted Living. Let me just tell you, I don't know everything about what Isabel does, but I work with a ton of clients that are in her community, and they are absolutely killing it in the real estate world. They are doing very, very good, okay? And of course, Isabel understands the banking concept. I speak at her event every other year. We'll be back at her big event in Phoenix. They do it every year in Phoenix. I speak there every year. I'll be back there speaking in September. But go listen to Isabel, because she's here. She's not always here at this event, but at 4 o'clock, that's one you want to listen to. All right, so this is a policy, okay? And this is just an example of a very small policy of somebody putting in a total of $5,000 a year in premium. Remember, anytime you put money into the policy, you guys decide the amount you want to put in. You choose the amount, however much you want to put in. We got people that put in $150 a month, and then I think our largest client puts in $540,000 a month. So pick a number between there, okay? You decide the number you want to put in the policy. And when you put money into the policy, you can put it in monthly, quarterly, twice a year, annually, and you can always change the mode of how you're paying it, and you can always lower the premium if you want to lower it. Now, you're never going to want to lower it unless in the first 2 years of starting it, you have a severe financial catastrophe or disaster. But other than that, you will never want to lower it, because you don't want to give up the growth that's going on in the policy. And I will tell you that I have over 9,000 clients in every state of the country. 91% of my clients that have been with me a year or longer come back and buy additional policies because they want more money into the system. And of those, 70% come back before the first year is up because they see how effective we work and how efficient this concept is going to work in their financial life. And we've never, ever had anybody that's ever quit paying policy premium that's been with us 3 years or longer. It's never happened because you're never going to want to give up the growth. Like I said earlier, the only way you'll quit is if you have a severe financial catastrophe or disaster and it happens in the first 2 years. So in this policy here, okay, this policy is on a new young born. Now, Chris Noggle calls this policy Vivi Lucky Jeans. Vivi Lucky Jeans. We used to have one out there that I presented in the past years ago. It was called Larry Lucky Jeans. Well, why did Chris call this one Vivi Lucky Jeans? Because Chris has one child. Chris and Larissa have one child, and her name is Viviana. So it's Vivi Lucky Jeans, and she's 3 years old now. So Chris starts this policy on her at birth, basically, age one, and puts in $5,000 into the policy. So $5,000 is how much he put in the first year. If you go to the second year, he puts in $5,000, so cumulative is $10,000. Third year is $15,000, right? You guys get that, how that works? The cash value of these policies, right? Now, Chris set this up a little bit different, which is good. It's fine. Listen, there's different ways to set the policies up based on with you guys, like as far as a strategy call, right? All right, whenever our team does a strategy call with you, and let's say you decide to get one of these policies, we will design it based on what's going on in your financial life. We can design it with really super high cash value and a little bit less cash value. It's all high cash value, but some can be larger and some can be a little bit less. It depends on what's going on in your financial life, and there's pros and cons to doing it, okay, so like both ways. So it depends if you're really in it for short term and the thing you want to do is put money and get as much as I possibly can get right away, then we design it one way. And then let's say if you're okay with not getting as much as you possibly can get right away, we'll design it another way. It's all good either way, but it's customized to you and what's going on in your financial life. So in this policy, it tells you what its cash value is. It shows the death benefit as well, okay? The death benefit and net death benefit and projected cash value and basically net protected cash value. So the numbers go up each and every year. He's putting in $5,000 a year into this policy each and every year, okay? Which is really $400 a month. Well, what is $400 a month? It's $100 a week. So are you willing to pay yourself $100 a week? I would think you probably are. How much is actually $100 a week? Well, let's say that would be like paying yourself $2.50 an hour and you work 40 hours a week. $2.50 an hour times 40 hours a week is $100 a week, $400 a month, $5,000 a year. Oh, a couple of you are thinking, well, Brent, I don't think I'm worth $2.50 an hour. Okay, then pay yourself $1.25 an hour and then just take the number from $5,000 to $2,500. It's up to you. It's whatever you want to pay yourself first. You decide how much you want to put in, okay? So he puts this money into the policy, and now at age 18, what happens to Vivi? Vivi goes to college. It's time for her to go to college. So how much cash value does she have in the policy at this point? She has $119,000 of cash value in the policy. How much has she put into this point? $90,000, okay? So she's got more than what she put in. Not only does she have $119,000 of cash in the policy, where am I at? 119, right there. Look what she has. She also has a $1.7 million death benefit. Now, hopefully Vivi doesn't die at age 18, but it's possible it could happen. And if she did, there's going to be somebody that's going to get that $1.7 million tax-free, okay? So always keep in mind that the true value of this policy is actually the death benefit. It's just what we're doing is we're using a portion of the death benefit while we're living. So here's what Vivi does is she goes to college, and her college is $20,000 a year. I don't know, maybe she went to
community.
A very low-class community college at 20 grand a year. I don't know. All right, I don't know how many years Chris did this ago, but still, 20 grand a year. But could she have even just paid more than $20,000 for college? Well, sure she could. She's got $119,000 here. But the thing that she did is she took the money from this policy to pay for her college, okay? So she's going to go to college for 4 years and pay $80,000. Hannah, I think you got to scroll up on this, don't you?
I will.
Okay, so, all right, so $20,000, $40,000, $60,000, $80,000. So as you see, okay, now remember, so this is the death benefit and this is the net death benefit here, all right? So now what happens after Vivi goes to college? Now just keep in mind, look, the cash value is continuing to grow in this policy, is it not? And she's never paying this back. She's never paying the college loan back at all. She took the money out of the policy. Now what does Vivi do? She gets married at age 29. She gets married, okay? 29. Hannah, you got to be in your 30s before you get married at least, okay? So just saying. So now we're going to pay for her wedding at $40,000. Well, how much cash does she have in the policy? She's got $275,000, and she's going to pay $40,000. So now she's taken out $120,000 total out of that policy, and she pays for the wedding. And then 2 years later, after she gets married, they decide to buy a house. Now, they're going to put a down payment down on the house, and that's going to be $60,000. Well, how much could she buy? She could probably buy the whole damn house, right? Because she has $334,000 there. So she's going to buy the house for $60,000, or put the down payment on the house for $60,000. Now, how much is she taking out? She's taken out $180,000 of the policy. So she's paid for her college, she's put a down payment on her house, and she's paid for her wedding. Doesn't this make you feel good, parents, especially parents of daughters, that so Vivi paid for her own damn wedding and we don't have to pay for it, right? Yeah? Isn't that cool? Yeah. I don't want to pay for my daughter's wedding either. Yeah. I get it. All right. So now what happens? She continues to go on with life, and then she has kids of her own. And now her kids are 18, and now the kids are going to go to college, and now the kids are going to pay $30,000 to go to school each year. Why $30,000? Because I guess 50 years later, college only went up from 20 to 30. I don't know. But anyway, in this example, they're paying $30,000 a year for college. But how much cash is in the policy right now? Well, the whole cash value is $945, but remember, they've used the whole cash value is $848, but remember, they used $180, but they still have $668,000 in the policy. Now, keep in mind that hopefully with this example, yes, I'm showing you an example of how they're using the policy to do these things, but just imagine if they were paying for all the stuff they're doing in life, all of the cars that they're driving, her and her husband and the kids and the vacations that they're taking. And if they're using the policy for all of those things and they're paying themselves back the way they would pay a banker back, these numbers would be off the chart, man. They would be so much bigger. This is isolating a few purchases over a long period of time, and it's not even showing paying back, right? So I'm really showing this as the worst case example. This is one of the worst things you can do with the policy, but it's still pretty good, isn't it? I mean, and again, the reason I say it's one of the worst things is because you should be doing more with it. You should be using that cash value for tons of stuff, especially if you're in the real estate world. Can you think of how many houses you can buy, fix and flips, buy and hold, house remodels by using that money, and you keep using that money over and over and over again and recycling it? Okay, so now at the end here, after her child went to college, and I guess there's only going to be one child, if there was two children, you would just have, like, all you would do is put a second child up here. So, for example, let's say they had an additional child, then the first child would be 30,000 times 4, and let's say they had the child 2 years later, then you would have another column up there, 30,000 times 4, probably 2 years later. Okay, so this is only one child, and Chris probably only did this because he's only going to have one child, so he probably thinks Vivi's only going to have one child. Okay, so at this point, they've taken $300,000 out of the policy. Now it comes time for Vivi to retire at age 65 years old. She has how much cash? Well, total of 1.9. But remember, she's used $300,000 in the policy. So she's got 1.5 million. So now what does she do? She takes $90,000 a year as retirement income out of the policy. And it looks like Chris, can you scroll up just a little bit? It looks like Chris killed Vivi off here at age 90 years old. Okay, at age 90, total premiums paid were $398,000. So that would be, I'm assuming the 390, total premium paid is 398. Okay, 398 is right there. That's how much you've paid through the life of the policy. You put in $398,000. You've taken loans out with retirement income and everything else I just showed you of $2,730,000. You have a cumulative cash value of $5.57 million. He used that number. Maybe he should have used that one. I don't know. But anyway, 5.5 or 5.7, close enough for government work, right? Okay, so $5.5 million, and he has a net cash value that can still be used, for other stuff of $2.9 million. And he didn't even mention the death benefit right here of the, so the death benefit is $6.7 million. 6.7 is what you pass on to the next generation, but since you're using this amount here, the 2.7, the thing that happens at the time of death is the $6.7 million death benefit will pay off the $2.7 million loan, and your beneficiaries get the $4+ million plus all the assets that Vivi has required. So I don't know the math on this. Chris did this. He would have to be the one to verify that he did this accurately. I'm assuming he did. I mean, he's done this on YouTube,
TikTok. He's a financial
advisor. He's a financial advisor, so you would think he's telling you the truth, right? But he's talking about a net return of 738% over the life of the policy. But more important, now again, okay, so the return that he's talking about is only on the cash value. It has nothing to do with the death benefit. So that $738,000 doesn't include the $4 million in additional money on top of what they've already taken out. So can you imagine when you do this, when you're doing this with everything in your life, right? And this is just a stupid, simple $5,000 a year premium that he reduced it down to $3,000 in what year?
And 65, age 65.
Okay, can you scroll back up just so I can see that? So he was putting $5,000 a year into the policy until right there, age 65, okay? And then after that, he just started putting $3,000 a year in the policy. It can be designed any way you want. If those numbers are too big, take off a zero, divide them in half. If they're too small, add a zero, take it times two. It's all works the same way. See, this concept works the same way. So remember earlier I told you that probably, okay, out of all of our clients, I think the lowest client puts in $150 a month, and the biggest client puts in $540,000 a month. It works the same way for both of those people. The policy works the same way. It's just one policy works on $150 a month. The other one works on $540,000 a month. It's the same math. It's the same growth. It's just a growth on a different number. Does that make sense? Okay.
You want to do Q&A?
I'm going to do Q&A now, but before I do that, okay? But before I do that, remember, I'm back in here at 2. It's 1:27 now. I'm back in here starting again at 2, and I'm going to go through my whole presentation from start to finish. I'm going to go through the whole entire presentation start to finish. But if you guys have not completed the back of this form, or if you don't have a form, ask Hannah right there. Just like raise your hand. And on the back of this form, it gives you the opportunity to write your name, your phone number, and email, and give it to Hannah. And either Hannah or a mentor on our team will schedule a strategy call with you to go through how this would work for you in your own personal financial situation to see if it's something that you may want to do in your financial life. The last thing I'm going to say is there's nothing that I'm selling you at all. Even if you work with us, you're never going to write me a check for a dime, Hannah a check for a dime, or the Money Multiplier a check for a dime. We provide all of our services to you for free. I get paid one way only. I get paid the same way your car insurance guy or gal gets paid. When you go to John Smith, the Allstate man, to buy car insurance, the check that you write is not to John Smith. You write it to Allstate, and Allstate pays John Smith a commission. I get paid a commission on the policy that you start because I'm licensed in every single state of this country. So I get paid what the insurance company pays me. The good news about that is I don't determine my commission amount, and you don't determine my commission amount. The insurance company determines it. Okay? Good deal. Thank you for coming. I'll take questions now.
Right here, Dad. No.
Where?
Oh. Microphone.
Hi. So I understand that anybody can own a policy on someone else, and whoever owns the policy has the control.
Yes.
However, if Vivi's living till 90, Chris probably won't outlive her. So once the owner of the policy passes, how does that work? Can
yep.
you like have somebody take control?
Yeah, very, very simple. So a policy can be owned. Now, guys, the thing you got to remember, these policies are appreciating assets. They go up in value. They go up in value, right? They're appreciating assets. And the thing you can do is always change ownership on policies, and you can always change beneficiaries. Right now, my wife and I have policies, and our children are our beneficiaries. But I threaten them all the time. If they don't act right, I will remove them from being the beneficiary. So that's how to keep your kids in line. So you can always change ownership on policies, and that's what would happen, because on this policy, when Chris bought it, he owned it. He'll eventually transfer ownership to Vivi. Probably Vivi will eventually transfer ownership maybe to her kids. But once Vivi passes, the policy is done. It pays out the death benefit, and it's over. Good? Yes, sir.
Can you explain a little bit about, I have some IUL policies.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but go ahead.
And that's why I'm asking. What makes using this whole life better or worse or more flexible or whatever?
Great. What are the advantages? I just did a big podcast or a webinar with Pace Morby on IUL, because Pace Morby previously had IUL policies too. Here's the thing about an IUL. An IUL has no guarantees. You can lose every dollar you put into an IUL. I don't care. The thing, you can go get any illustration you look, as far as any illustration you want, and the thing, you can look at an IUL policy. The cash value, the loan availability, and the death benefit can go all the way down to zero because the cost of insurance cannot keep up with the policy. So also the IUL, it is determined by what the market is doing, other factors, right? Because it's indexed universal life. So depending on where your money is invested in the market fund or wherever it's at, the stock or whatnot, right? It depends on how well the policy does. And there's a boatload of fees associated with the IUL. Call Pace Morby and ask him when we uncovered and his policy, how many fees he had in there. It was absolutely ridiculous. Now, to even learn more about IUL and whole life, we have a ton of videos that compare whole life versus IUL. So contact Hannah. It's going to be Hannah at themoneymultiplier.com, H-A-N-N-A-H. You spell her name the same forward as backwards. Hannah at themoneymultiplier.com, and she will send you all the content and the videos we have comparison. But great question. Who else? Okay, hang on. Mike, I'm sorry.
That's okay. My question is, my adult son has children, and say he's got just traditional term life insurance on his children, but can I also place a whole life insurance policy on those children as well? So can there be multiple policies one person?
There can. As a matter of fact, I own Hannah, or policies on Hannah and her two brothers, and she and her two brothers also own policies on themselves. Her one brother, no, because he's not insurable because he had a kidney transplant, but her other brother, yes.
Okay, is there then a maximum amount of insurance that can be gotten on a person, and then that's just divided
there
up
between... There is a maximum amount of insurance that can be gotten on a person, and here's how it's determined. It's determined by your age, your health, your gross income, and your net worth. So the insurance company will not allow you to overinsure a body the same way you can't overinsure a car or a house. So the thing they do is they look at those numbers and they see. So normally as we get older, our net worth increases, right? So then as we get older, we can continue to get more and more policies. But the thing is, all we do is okay, so let's say if you're at that threshold and you can't get any more, what we do is start insuring other people, a spouse, a child, a grandchild, a niece, a nephew, maybe someone you have a vested interest in your business. So you can own policies on other individuals. And if we really need to and you want more than that, we just send a cover letter to the insurance company and explain why we want more. It works sometimes, not all the time.
So two of the questions have been answered, but I have two more. Modified endowment. Mm-hmm. Contract levels issue also with whole life, because you said, well, you can put as much as you want in, but there might be a ceiling you can't go beyond. And then the other is you said you want to keep it in the family, so you have a trust that's actually the beneficiary?
Right. Okay, so the trust question I'll take first. A policy can own by an individual. It should not be owned by a corporation because they're appreciating assets, and you never want your corporation or LLC to own any appreciating assets, right? But the thing you should do is you should loan money to your corporation and have the corporation pay you back or your finance company back. Okay, but yes, a trust can own a policy and an individual can own a policy. And what you can do is transfer ownership as much as you want. I have some of my policies are owned by me individually, and I have two trusts. I have a business trust, a family trust, and a charitable foundation. And all of those entities except my family trust own policies. Okay, so yes, the answer is yes, all of those entities can own it. The other question she asked was about the modified endowment contract. It's called MEC. Actually, Nelson Nash talks about the MEC on page 38 of this book. Whenever we design your policy, we snuggle it right up to the MEC line without going over it, because if the policy becomes a MEC. Now, the MEC is what? What is the MEC? Well, the MEC came into effect in June of 1988. Our good old government put it into place because people were trying to stuff a boatload of money into these policies, and the government came along and said, hey, we got to change this because we don't want our people to continue to get more wealthy or whatever it was, right? So they put into place the MEC guidelines. So when we design your policy, we snuggle it up to the MEC line, because if we cross the MEC line, your policy now is no longer an insurance contract. It's treated as an investment and it's subject to taxation. We don't want that. So how do we avoid that? Is each policy contract, let's say if you come to me and say, I want to do $1,000 a month into the policy, and all of a sudden you're trucking down the road, it's working good, and now you want to do $2,000 a month. Well, the problem is that new policy will not hold the $2,000 a month because it was only designed to hold $1,000. Yes, it might hold 10 to 15% more, but you can't double it. So all we do is open up a new policy. Think of this water bottle. Okay, I want you to make believe this has 10 ounces. There's no way I could get 12 ounces of water in it, is there? So if I want more than 10 ounces of water, what do I got to do? I just go get another water bottle so we get another policy. Great question. Yes.
I just got a quick question. So I just want to make sure I'm clear. Once you pull out so let's say in this example, they pull out the entire actual cash value. You just have to wait to build it back up or how does that work?
No, the policy always, always has cash value in it. And if you take all the cash value out, right? You suck all the cash value out, it's okay. It's still going to continue to compound and grow.
Okay.
And in this example, what you're going to continue to pay premium. So the numbers just keep getting bigger. So anytime you want to know your exact cash value in the policy, all you do is you contact the person on our team. We call them the I team, the implementation team. And they will tell you exactly what your cash value is, or what you can go to your online portal and check it all out on yourself, for yourself. Yes, sir. If you stop making premium payments, it's just the numbers are going to be lower. That's it, right? So the numbers will just be lower. And I think what you're really asking is, hey, how about if you stop making premium payments, can you actually kill the policy, right? That's probably what you're really asking. It's possible if you do that very early on. So let's just say if you wanted to put $5,000 a year into this policy And if you sucked all the money out the first year and you never paid a premium again, then yeah, it's going to kill the policy. But that's not what you're going to do. You're going to continue to do it. But if you stop paying out-of-pocket premium, so like take a look at all the cash value, that which one's the cash value column. So the internal policy will continue to take care of that premium. It's called an APL, automatic premium loan, if you designate it to have it on there. That will not be a problem. The only way that'll ever be a problem is if you stop doing that before the third year. Once you get past the third year, it won't be a problem.
What if you don't have any verified income because you're retired? And is there a lowest threshold of a death benefit?
Yeah, so the thing is okay, the death benefit is going to be based on the age, the health, and the amount of premium you're putting in. So let's just say you were the person that only put in $150 a month, okay? Then all your numbers would just be lower, that's all. It's still going to work the same exact way. It's just all you're doing is a lower premium. The premium dollars is totally up to you. But you do have to put some money into the policy. In other words, let's say if you want to learn how to swim, you got to get wet. You got to get wet if you want to learn how to swim. I'm not going to throw you in the deep end right away, or take you to the ocean.
Yes.
Can you front load it? Yeah, you can front load it.
What is the significance of the words mutual association?
What is the significance of the word mutual? Mutual means that you own the policy contract. It is a mutual company, and you are going to earn the profits, the dividends.
What is a mutual company?
A mutual company is... right, so like you're the owner. It's like mutually owned. The policy holders own the company. There's no stockholders or shareholders. I only made it through 10th grade, so the words get a little tough for me.
Very quickly, if we don't have money to pay, can we take the cash out and then pay that?
If you don't have money to pay the premium, can you take money out of the policy to pay future premium? That's a great idea. IUL policy. Yeah, into a whole life? Rock on, brother. Okay, anyway, he's doing an IUL. He's doing a 1035 exchange. So if you have a cash value IUL that's probably not performing very well, and again, it could perform okay, but it's not going to be long-term perform okay, because we talk to people every week that take a blood bath in their IUL policy. So yes, most people are going to exchange their IUL. Pace Morby is exchanging his IUL. And in the beginning, he wasn't having anything of it, because if he was going to exchange it, he was going to lose money. But then when he saw what he was really losing by keeping it, he said, this is ridiculous. This is crazy.
So if everyone takes the money out, like loans themselves the
yes.
money, I guess how does the company still have money to pay the death benefits
yeah.
if nobody pays it back?
Well, again, so the question was, if you take money out, how does the insurance company have money? Well, look, as I said earlier, the insurance company, they take the dollars that the policyholders put there and pay in premium, and they put about 80% of that money into investment-grade bonds. About 7% goes to home and commercial mortgages. Only 7% of their portfolio goes to policy loans. But even if they go to policy loans, that's a good thing, because they're getting paid interest on the policy loan, so they're making money anyway, right? And then the other 7% is in cash, and because if death occurs, it's in a very low interest bearing account. Don't worry, the insurance companies are making money. Those buildings are real high and tall. Go to Indianapolis, look at One America. Go downtown Cincinnati, Ohio, Lafayette Life, Western and Southern. That's a big company we write with. Go look at Western and Southern. I go every now and then, and I stand in the office, and I can see the inside of the baseball stadium. I can watch baseball games from the office at that building down there, right? And also the big Great American building down there in Cincinnati. Good. Yes.
You mentioned your 2 o'clock was going to be a complete presentation. Is that the same as this?
No.
I'm doing my full presentation.
Right, my full presentation, start to finish. Go.
Yeah, you said that. You had somebody that was unsure.
He said go.
Yes.
Conditions that make people uninsurable. And if they're uninsurable individually, can a trust insure them?
Yeah. The policy has to be on a body. So if you're uninsurable, I'm uninsurable right now. I cannot get a policy. It sucks. Hopefully I won't stay that way, but it sucks. I hate it. all right? But there are health conditions that you can't get policies on. If you just had 7 feet of your intestines removed, you're not going to get a policy. If you had a kidney transplant, you're not going to get a policy. If you have cancer, you're not going to get a policy right now. Doesn't mean you can't ever get one. If you got 3 driving while intoxicated in the last year, you're not going to get a policy. If you have a high risk job, like one guy was, the guy lived in Hollywood, California, and he was a cameraman. And actually, he did all the camera shots for stuntmen. So when somebody jumps out of the airplane, he's jumping out of the airplane with them, but he's holding the camera and filming them coming out of the airplane. He's uninsurable because it's too high of a risk job. So all we do is put the policy on somebody else, a spouse, a child, a grandchild, somebody else you have a vested interest in. You can borrow it. You own it and control it. The policies that I own on my children, they don't control any of those. I control every aspect that goes on. I got like 3 more questions, and then I got to quit.
Last one, I say.
Oh.
As a real estate investor and someone who knows lots of real estate investors, because obviously I'm here, I have almost unlimited access to be able to invest money with no risk-ish at 8%, 9%, 10%, but definitely 8. How does a chart like this compare to investing that same amount of cash every month at, say, 8% and then buying a term life policy? Because
so
that's what I did for myself.
Okay, good. I have a Dave Ramsey fan. Good, thank you. So, the very first part, just back like an hour ago, just when I started, right? Or did you come in late? You came in late. Okay. So the reason I asked if he came in late is because remember what I said earlier? I use my money in the policy. I put my money in the policy first, and then I go make those investments, those loans. I have $8.9 million loaned out, and I loan that money out to people for real estate deals. I get paid interest or principal and interest, however you want to set it up, but all I did was added one step in the process. I put the money in the policy first. And when I do that, now I'm not only making the money from the borrower's paying me interest, but I'm still making all of the growth inside of the policy. It's uninterrupted compound interest. So everything that you're doing, continue to do, just add this one step in the policy. And remember term insurance, what Dave Ramsey says, and I've tried to debate Dave Ramsey. Not really debate him, I just want to have a discussion, but he won't do it. Chris Noggles tried to have discussions with him. He won't do it. But remember, the thing is that like Dave Ramsey owns a huge, big term insurance company. So he's naturally going to tell you to buy term and invest the rest. Well, you can still buy insurance and invest the rest. But the people that are buying term and invest the rest, how many people are actually really investing the rest? He tells you that, but how many people actually do it? So isn't it better, instead of buying term insurance? Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with term. A lot of us need term because we have to have the death benefit and to protect our family. But why not have the whole life policy that's guaranteed? Because your term policy has a 2% chance of paying out. Only 2% of all term policies in existence actually pay out. If the insurance company, if they really thought that you were going to die, okay, as far in that term, they would never issue you the policy. It's kind of like going to Vegas and thinking you're going to win. It's probably not going to happen. But if you do win, but like if you do beat the insurance company and your term policy does pay out, that means you've died sooner and quicker than expected, so you beat them. It is a way to beat them, just not a very fun way to do it. One more.
Should interest be accruing on these loans, even though they're not paying it?
Every year, here's what we tell you to do. Every year on your anniversary date, you should pay back your policy loan interest. So let's just say I borrowed $10,000 and I kept the money out for, say, 12 months, a year. So the interest that you pay to take the loan from the general fund of the insurance company, we'll call it 5%. So $10,000, I borrowed it, I kept the money out for a year, I pay $500 in interest. It's calculated at simple interest. If you kept the money out for 6 months, it would only be $250. You should pay the interest to the insurance company each and every year. You don't have to, But you should, because if you don't, the interest will compound. So every year on your anniversary day, pay it back. So remember earlier I told you about the guy I loaned $1 million to? Well, every year I borrowed that money out. I said I borrowed it out at 6%. I used a high number. So I pay $60,000, which is $5,000 a month. But every month I have $13,333 coming in. So every year I pay 60 grand back, okay, in interest. But do I care? No, because I made 160. Plus, not only did I make the, all right, the thing is, not only did I make the 160, I made the growth on the whole million that's in the policy that's growing uninterrupted, compound tax-free. Okay, 2 o'clock, I'm back on. 2 o'clock, so come back at 2. It's 1:49, so 11 minutes. I will start. I'll go through the whole presentation. And remember, guys, I highly recommend at 4 o'clock, go see Isabel. I think she's in Sequoia 3. At 4 o'clock, that is the presentation I recommend that you go see. Check out what she's doing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I got a guy giving me money. I love you, man. I don't even know you, and you give me money. You want a book? All right. Oh, yeah, so, guys, I got books, too. If you want them, they're $20 a piece for becoming your own banker.
Thank you very much.
Good. Good. Good? Good deal? Okay.